Therefore his sisters said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he had saith them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Isn't it fun that Jesus calls death sleep? Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he'll do well. I like this part. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You can put in your Bible, if Jesus says you're dead, you're dead. Right? That's really dead when Jesus says you're dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that it was not here to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then he said to Thomas, which is Didymus, and to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. He's kind of a downer, Thomas is. I don't know if you know that about him, but we're going to go through a lot of this chapter, but I'll stop there with our reading. But I want to call this, when life has you puzzled. When life has you puzzled. Has anybody ever been puzzled by life? Okay, good. I'm in the right place then. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. God, we're always encouraged by it. We're always encouraged through it. And Father, I pray as your word goes out tonight, it'll be an encouragement to these people, to this place. Lord, I know they love you, and I know, Lord, they love your word. And so, Father, I pray as your word is spoken that it will, I know your word says it will not return void. So for those here that maybe are holding a piece that they never dreamed they would, that they'll see that the grand scheme, the picture, well, that you make all things beautiful in your time. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you'd be glorified by it tonight. And we just wouldn't walk out of here and say, what a great choir, what a good preacher. I pray we'd walk out of here and with the mindset of how great you are and what a powerful and wonderful Savior you are. God, use us, I pray, for your glory tonight in Jesus' name. All God's people said. My son especially used to love puzzles. Now, they were fun for a while. You know, they had like 7 pieces. Yeah, the ones that have pieces about this big, my son used to work, and I was the master at those things. Yeah, I was the master of those. I welcomed those in our house. I used to love to work those. As a matter of fact, I'd kind of wait on him to struggle a little bit, and then Dad would come in and boom, 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 watch that. I just put it all together. Watch that, boy. Just come to Dad anytime you... Over the course of time, of course, you get a little older, puzzles get a little harder. They get a little harder to understand. And the problem with puzzles is when you think about it, is, and I brought some tonight, I brought one of the little 500-piece things that you have, and what it comes to your life and when it comes to what you're going through, the frustrating part about life is you don't get the fancy top of the box. You don't get that. Wouldn't it be nice? How wonderful would it be if God would just, I don't know, just kind of show you what he was making before he handed you this mess? Anybody been handed a mess from time to time? And what happens is, you got a bunch of people walking around, especially even in church on Sunday morning, you're like, hey, how you doing? You're like, I don't know, how are you? I don't know. I don't know how I am. I have no idea how I am. How are you? And then we lie to each other. Bless God, praise God, I'm good. Amen. And sometimes, if you're not careful, sometimes in ministry you'll ask somebody how they're doing and they'll tell you and you're like, oh, I asked them how they're doing and they told me. Right? And what you have is a bunch of people walking around really with no box top. We don't have any tops to the box. And all of us are walking around trying to make sense of all these pieces. We're all trying to make sense of what the ultimate picture is. And I'm amazed at the places people go to try to find the complete, to try to figure out what kind of picture it is. Some people run to money and try to make sense of that. Some people run to a career. Some people run to a spouse. Some people run to popularity. Some people run to fame. And what we're trying to do is make sense of all that we have been given. See, when it starts out, it seems easy, doesn't it? When it starts out, salvation is easy enough. As a matter of fact, when you come to Christ, you're ready to give him anything, aren't you? You're ready to give him anything. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. You'll do anything. Even at church. Yes. I'll do that. Yes. And you don't even know if it's crazy or not. Yes. Yes. Give me the nursery. Yes. Give me the children's church. Yes. I'll drive the van. Yes. Sure. Teenagers. Yeah, they're all right. I'll do that too. And you're just like, I'm Lord. Here you are, Lord. I'll give you anything. And the pieces are so easy to give because in the beginning it's so big. And everything is, yes, Lord, here, I'll give you my heart, I will give you my life, I will, and then you start growing, and you start saying, not only can you have my time, you can have me, Lord. And then years pass, and time passes, and Jesus says, great, I can have you. Can I have your brother? Can I have your spouse? Can have your son. And before you know it, Christian, you're holding pieces you never dreamed you'd hold. And the frustrating part of all that in an honest moment is we don't know the picture. We're just walking around like trying to make sense of all of it. That's what we're doing. And life has us puzzled. Life has us puzzled. And in John chapter number 11, it's a piece of a puzzle that these ladies are handed. They never dreamed they'd be holding. And maybe you're here tonight and you're holding something right now in your life. You never thought you'd, you know, what's that? Well, what is that? How's that going to? Back on cable back home, I don't know if you guys have it here, but there's this artist, his name's Bob Ross, and he's this guy that he paints these pictures, and do you guys know Bob? Yes! You know Bob Ross? He has the afro, and he's like painting, and he's happy little trees, and my man Bob, I watch him sometimes, and he'll be painting something, he has this beautiful picture. It looks beautiful. You're like, Bob, put the brush down, man. You're good. Walk away, Bob. Walk away from the picture. And you know what Bob will say? Bob will say, you know what we need? We need a happy little tree right here in the middle of this. I'm like, Bob, don't put the tree there. You're going to mess up the picture. You need a happy little tree. No, Bob, it's not a happy tree. It's a sad tree. It's not a happy tree. And sure enough, Bob goes to work. You've seen him. If you've seen him, say amen. Bob goes to work and you're like, Bob, you the man after he does it. It's exactly what that picture needed was it needed the happy little tree. It's exactly what it needed. But while he was doing it, you thought he was messing it up. And isn't it just like your life sometimes when everything's falling into place, when it looks like it's starting to look right, and it's what you've always wanted, that God's like, wait, watch this. Like, I don't want a tree, God. The picture looks fine. I don't want this sickness. I don't want to go to this funeral. I don't want this problem in my marriage. The picture's fine. Put the brush down. God's always brushing and painting. What do you do when you're holding pieces you never dreamed you would hold? Mary is going to show us what she did. I love it. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Now, we know that Jesus loved Lazarus because they remind him of that. Now, that shoots down a lot of TV preaching, don't it? Because immediately it says that a certain man was sick and his name was Lazarus. And that's the guy that Jesus loved. So all of a sudden we see that sickness doesn't mean God doesn't love you, does it? Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And so I want you to watch how they say this. Verse number 3, it says, therefore his sister sent unto him, Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now what I want you to notice is they base it on his love for Lazarus, not Lazarus's love for him. And we've got to be careful in our Christianity not to base everything on our love for Jesus. Let's just base it on Jesus' love for us. But if we're not careful, because our love for him is kind of fickle, isn't it? It's kind of up and down. It's kind of back and forth. But his love for us doesn't change. His love for us isn't going to waver. If he loves you more tomorrow than he did today, then he didn't love you as much today as he should have or as he could have. So God's love doesn't go up and down. It's never changing. It's always the same. God doesn't love you more today than he did a week ago. Or you're like, but I'm in church on a weeknight. He's got to love me more. No, it's always the same. But stop basing everything on your love for him. Base it on his love for you that's not changing. So what they say is, okay, let's do this. Now watch this. When Jesus heard it, watch this, verse number 4, the sickness not in the death, but for the glory of God. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard thereof, he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place. Watch this, verse 7. Then he saith unto him, his disciples, let us go in again to Judea. I love the disciples. Watch this, verse 8. Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again. I love these guys because they say, Jesus, maybe you got your towns mixed up. I don't know who's in charge of the itinerary where we're going, because we need to tell Jesus, those people don't like him there. They wanted to throw rocks at him. And so Jesus says, yeah, that's where we're going to go. I want to go back there. So watch this. It says we're going to go there. Verse 9 and 10, I'm trying to get you here to a place. Stay with me. Jesus basically says everything happens in time. Everything's happening for a purpose, for a reason is what he's saying. Everything happens in time. And then verse number 11, he says, our friend Lazarus sleeps. So he says, Lazarus is asleep and I'm going to go wake him up. I love that, you know, oftentimes Jesus will refer to death as sleep. That's what it is to him. He's going to sleep, right? Remember the little girl we raised? She's asleep. What do you mean she's asleep? Isn't it great to know if you've lost a loved one that's a Christian that they didn't die and stay dead? They went to sleep, and they woke up in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what we believe. That's what we preach. That's what the Word of God says. And so watch this. Then he said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, I love that. They said, if he's asleep, then good. Let him sleep. What are we going to wake up Lazarus for? Let him sleep. And then Jesus has to say to them plainly, okay, guys, you're not getting it. He's dead. Let me speak your language. He's dead. Gone. He's out. So he can't just say, well, he's asleep, because to Jesus, death is sleep, but the disciples, dead is dead. And so he has to speak their language. And as he comes to this, we see this, we're going to see these three reactions. We're going to see three reactions to trials. And there's three reactions we're going to find from three of these people in the Scriptures. And there are three reactions that we have when we don't understand what we're holding. When we can't quite grasp why we're in the place we're in. And first we have Thomas. What's Thomas? Look at verse number 16. Thomas, which is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Whoa, Tom. What's up with Tom? Tom says, I'll go die too. You have a friend like that? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we're all going down, right? And yeah, we'll die too. What are you doing? Why are you being a martyr for? So the first thing is this. Thomas, his reaction to a trial is die. Die. It's gloomy. It's quit on God. What's he lack? He lacks hope. He lacks hope. Yeah, Thomas's reaction to all this is just die. It's over. Can't figure it out. We're just going to die. And I don't know why he's panicking here, but that's his reaction to the trial. And many of us may be in here tonight. That's been our response to that. Okay, fine, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing, so just take me out of here. Just take me home. No more trees, no more mountains, no more painting, no more fixing me. Just take me home and I'll look exactly like you want me to look there, but not here. And the reaction is, die. It's going to die. You know anybody like that that just says, okay, it's over. I'm finished. Well, Martha, what's hers? Verse number 21. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Thomas says, die. He lacks hope. Martha says, why? She lacks trust. She spends her life in the if-onlys. With her box, with her puzzle, she says, well, if you would have showed up, if I would have had this piece, then I would have never had this piece. If you would have showed up here, then I wouldn't be holding what I'm holding. So Thomas says, die. We're out. It's over. I'll die. I'll go. And Martha says, why? She spends her life in the if onlys. If only. If only. I don't understand what you're doing here, God, but I tell you this. If only you would have. Or if only I would have. And that will drive you nuts, Christian. It'll drive you to the point of wondering, I don't know what God's doing, I don't know what I'm doing, and you're just going to walk around and say, if only this piece wouldn't have happened, and then where would I be, and if this piece happened, you have to understand that the sovereign God of the universe is in control, and he knows every piece of the puzzle. You got to believe that, or you're going to say die, or you're going to spend your life in the Why? Why? Thomas lacks hope. Martha lacks trust. One more. Watch verse number 32. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus saw, and Jesus saw him, fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. Thomas says, die. Martha says, why? Mary says, cry. Cry. She lacks faith. She lacks faith. Some people, they get so tore up by their box that they've been given. It's just every day of their life, it's like, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe what I've been given. I can't believe. And all they do is talk about, you know what I mean? Maybe you're not like that, but maybe you know somebody who is that's like, okay, we're going to talk about that again. Okay, we're going to go again back to that. You're going to talk about that again and just going to cry. That's what we're going to do. We're going to cry. Thomas, die. We have Martha, why? We have Mary, cry. And we have three people that's been given a piece that they don't understand. And their reactions are, I'm going to lack hope. I'm going to lack trust. I'm going to lack faith is what's going to happen. That's what they're going to do. They're going to lack and they're going to continue to lack. And then the Bible says, where? And Jesus, watch this verse number 34. I love this because, and he said, where have ye what? Laid him. You ever, when you read the questions of Jesus, do you ever just want to jump in the scripture and say, Jesus, I know that you're God and everything, but that's a dumb question. Where have you laid him? Where? You know where he is. But it's not the question to where they would know where he is. That what Jesus is actually doing is, I believe he's actually asking them the question, go back with me to the place you stopped believing it was possible. Go back with me to the piece of the puzzle where you started, die, why, cry. When he says, where have you laid him? I believe what he's trying to get them to go to is back to where you stopped believing I am who I said I am. Can you do that? For those of you tonight that are sitting here and you don't get what's going on in your life, you don't understand all the pieces that's been thrown into your box, you don't understand how you're ever going to figure this out or how it's ever going to work out, if you've walked away from God, can you go back to a time where you can say, that's probably where I stopped believing God could? That's the piece. It was about 8 pieces ago. That's the piece that I said, what in the world are you drawing here, God? Where have you laid him? Wouldn't it be interesting if Jesus could say to you tonight, when did you stop believing I could? At what point was it when you just stopped believing? And the response to that is verse number 35. It's my favorite memory verse. I got a few laughs out of that, not many, but it's the shortest verse. Get it? It's that Jesus wept. What's that? What's that? He wept. No other time in Scripture, so he was doing something no one else was, so it hurts God. And we could go into why does he weep? There are many things, many reasons that people will give that are smarter than me to ask why he wept. There's a few things we could say. I think he wept because he truly loved Lazarus. I think he's weeping because his friend has died. Here's what I love about Jesus. What's so cool about Jesus is he knows he's going to bring this guy back. Isn't it great, even when Jesus knows he's going to take care of it for you, he'll still sit down beside you and weep through it? Even though he knows the top of the box. He knows he's going to raise the guy, and he still sits down by the lady and cries. If I'm sitting down beside the lady, I'm not crying. I'm going to tell her to stop it. Right? You're crying. So emotional. Why are you so emotional? I'm the resurrection of life here. I got this. But he'll sit there with you. Isn't it fascinating that he doesn't just call us to heaven when we get saved, but he sits down with us in it. You ever been to a funeral? And you know this. He sat there with you in it. And you're sitting there and you're crying. And instead of saying, stop crying, you baby. He weeps with you. Why? Because he loves Lazarus. Number two, I think because he's really mad at death. I love that Jesus sighs in one scripture. There's a man that can't hear and Jesus sighs. He's, ah. You know why you sigh? You sigh when you're exasperated or when you're saying, this is not supposed to be like this. He sighs. Number three, I think it's obvious the reason, I think one of the reasons he cried was because Mary was. I think he cried because she did, and I think that's beautiful. Don't you? So he actually goes to them, and the question is, and some of them, and she's crying, and the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him," verse number 37, and some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused not even this man should have died?" And that would do us well to do that. When we got this piece, couldn't we say, "Could not this man which did this, couldn't he also do this? Could not this man that took care of this piece also take care of this piece? Is he not sovereign over all the pieces? Is he not sovereign over every area of my life?" Yeah, Ryan, but you don't know, I got one of those weird pieces. I don't have any really shape to it. I don't know what it's going to fit in. I don't know how he's going to get glory from it. Yeah, but if he's got all these, doesn't he have this one too? And that's what they're saying. They're saying, could not this man, I love that, that's his humanity. Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and not cause that even this man should not have died? Watch this, verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come into the grave, which is cave, and the stone laid on it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him, this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. I love how it says, watch this, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto them, I love my Bible, watch this, "Lord," I love it, "by this time he stinketh." Right? You don't see that on a bumper sticker. Right? "By this time he stinketh." Right? So she's so caught up in this, he's about to actually raise the guy from the dead, and all she can say is, "This room we're going to walk in is going to need an air freshener. I want you to know that. It's going to stink in there, Lord. It's going to stink." And yes, death stinks. It does. But we don't have to point out to Jesus that, well, it's really, you're focusing on that? That's your problem right now? By now he stinks. By now he... Watch this, "By now he stinks, and he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Watch this, "And when they took away the stone from the place," you know this is what happens, "place where the dead lay, and Jesus lifted up his life, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew thou prayest always hear my prayers. But because of the people which stand by it, I said that I may believe that thou hast sent me. And he said," he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And of course, he has to say, "Lazarus, come forth," because if he doesn't, every dead guy comes forth. Right? He's got to call Lazarus. If he just says, "Come forth," and there's a cemetery there, it's going to get weird fast, isn't it? Right? It's going to get weird fast. I mean, I believe Jesus, when he says, "Come forth," in a cemetery, you're not going to be in the cemetery. Right? "Come forth." And you know, and so he says, "Lazarus, come forth," and he that was dead came forth, brought forth hand, foot, grave clothes, with his face bound with a napkin. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." So the reaction to this is, if you look back on that, you would say, if you were Thomas, you would say, after this, after the fact, you would say, "Man, why was I so like, die?" And if you're Martha, you would say, "Man, I really should have trusted through that." And if you're Mary, you should have said, "I probably should have had more faith. Even in this." You ever got through a trial and you thought, "Man, wish I'd have trusted a little more through that. Wish I'd been a little more faithful. Wish I'd have been a little more..." And what we have is a bunch of people in Scripture that are faced with what you and I are faced with tonight as we try to make this applicable into your life. What a lot of us would... That the truth is, tonight I'm not the only one holding a box of pieces that I don't know how to work. Yeah, the truth is, if we had the God cam, we would all in our lap tonight have a life that we don't. You'd figure that out. And some of us, even right now, we're on a difficult part, we're on a difficult piece, a piece that we never thought we would hold. And some of us are saying why, some of us are saying die, some of us are lacking trust, some of us are lacking faith. But the problem is, what we have to understand is, as a Christian, we actually know the keeper of the top of the box. You know the top of the box. Now, how crazy would it be for you to say, yeah, I know he knows, but watch this. I'll try this myself. My son, when he was very little, he's working a Batman puzzle, and it had like 6 pieces. It was huge, and I'm watching him. He's on the living room floor, and I'm watching him. He's jamming these pieces in places they don't belong. I'm just watching him, just waiting. Like, whew. I'm watching him for a couple of minutes, and I'm like, man, I hope this kid's a good athlete, because he sure ain't the smartest guy. And he is, thankfully. He's a good baseball player, but he's not, bless his heart. I mean, he can't work a 6-piece puzzle or a 7-piece puzzle. He's forcing those things in. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. And finally, after a while, he's just a little guy. He looks up, exasperated, and he says, Daddy, you help me all this? You know what I said? I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, I was waiting on you to ask. And the number one ranked 6-piece puzzle worker in Lawrence County, Ohio, went down there and put Batman all in place. I don't know what God sees when he sees your life tonight, but it is possible that you may be trying to fit things into different places. It is possible that you're trying to make sense of something and you don't have a box top. It may be tonight that you could bow at this altar, bow in that pew tonight, and you could say, Father, can you give me a hand? And I don't think he'll turn any of you away, and I believe he'll say, I thought you'd never ask. I'm not telling you that it's going to get easy, but I'm telling you the scripture says he makes all things beautiful in his time. I don't care what piece it is. He'll make it beautiful in his time. If you're here without Christ tonight, it is possible that all the pieces in your life have led you to this place tonight. His grace and his mercy and all the things you've been through has given you the peace tonight, the peace that could change the entire puzzle. Hear me. Your life will never make sense apart from that one piece, and that piece being Christ. Your life will never make sense apart from him. You can run everywhere you want to and try to make sense of this thing, and it'll never come to fruition. It'll never make it right. And that's what we're doing, aren't we? We're trying to figure out, somebody worked this for me. And nobody can but him. Life, have you puzzled? I know the top of the box. I know the one who holds it. And I've spent a lot of wasted years sitting on the living room floor of my life, worn out from trying to make sense of all of it. Haven't you? Am I the only one that does that? Right? Or do you guys just pray every day, like, oh, Father, just lead me into... You know, sometimes I step on a Lego in my daughter's room, and I'm having a bad day that day. You know what I mean? Can I have an amen from the parent section, right? Sometimes, preach that, Ryan. Yeah, I preach that. Right? Sometimes I'm just not in the mood to pray. Sometimes I'm just... Right? Can he be trusted? Can God be trusted is the ultimate question. Can he be trusted with the funeral? Can he be trusted with the cancer? Can he be trusted with the problems? Can he be trusted? Can you trust him even as you'd sit there and watch an artist paint a tree in a picture that looks fine? It might be that tree that makes it pretty. And I love what Job said. Job said, even though he slay me. Job said, even though he takes a sword and kills me, yet will I trust him? Isn't that powerful? Whatever you give me, God, whatever peace it is, even if it's to kill me, I'll trust you that it was the best thing. Life, have you puzzled? Then go to the one who keeps the top of the box. Amen? Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I hope you're encouraged tonight to know that none of us have it all figured out. None of us do. You may be here tonight and you may be the only one that even this was for, but that'll be enough. You may be the one that's sitting here today or tonight and say, man, Ryan, I am holding something right now I never dreamed I'd hold. This is not how I pictured it. Never dreamed I'd get this news. Never dreamed it would end this way. Have no idea what God is doing right now. If you're like that, would you be honest with no one looking around and say, Ryan, that's me, pray for me. Hold up your hand. God bless you. Hands all over. I see those hands. God bless you. Never dreamed I'd hold these pieces. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. So I'm not the only one with a puzzle tonight. You have one too. If you're a Christian tonight, you also know you're in relationship with the holder and the keeper of the top of the box. He sees the finished art. He sees the end result. And he makes everything beautiful in his time. And the sovereign hand of God is taking the brush across your life. And listen, he's the good shepherd. And hear me, what I love about good shepherds is this: nothing comes to the sheep that doesn't go through the shepherd. And if it's not a habitual sin thing, if it's not a thing where you're just being rejecting God, and if you're living for God and you're doing things, listen, and you're suffering because, just because, then you can trust that he allowed it. It came through his hand first. And God put his stamp of approval on it. And you're here tonight, you say, man, I am so tired of trying to make sense of all this. Hear me, church. You're not supposed to try to make sense of all this. You just trust him with the pieces. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight to get off your living room floor and just stop with trying to piece things together on your own. It won't work. I believe you have a Father who's very willing and very eager to come down there with you and say, let's make sense of all this. It's all for my glory. Hear me, Christian. Every piece is for his glory. The ultimate end to the picture is the glory of God in every life. I'm going to pray, and all over this place when we sing this song, I want you to come tonight. And I want you to trust God with even this piece you're holding right now. We're not making light of it. There's just some hard pieces. But we've got to trust him with this one if we're going to trust him with the next one. We got to trust him. Father, thank you so much that you not only know our past and our present, but you also know our future. And God, there are some pieces that are just necessary for other pieces to fall in line. And Father, there's not a one of us in here tonight that couldn't look back on our life and look back on past pieces and see that though at the time we didn't like it, now we can look back and see they were necessary and important. Lord, thank you for not just calling us to heaven and being with you forever. Lord, you mold us and you shape us here. You make us more Christ-like, and the end result, God, is that we would be more conformed to the image of your Son. God, I pray for these people. I know, God, there's hurting people here. There's no doubt. There's people with pieces they never dreamed they'd hold. Help them, God, tonight to trust you with even this piece. Thank you for raising the dead, God. We love you. Draw us to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and you come tonight and you trust God with whatever you've got right now in your hand. Hymn number 2.